Good morning. You're listening to 91.5 KUNV, and this is Neon Eden. I'm your host, Tobin LePan, reporter for the Las Vegas Sun. My co-host, Patrick Coolican, is in Carson City this week and will be back next week. Last week, President Barack Obama came to Las Vegas to deliver a speech on immigration reform at Del Sol High School. The president said, "The time is now for a pathway to citizenship, a well-controlled border, and more efficient systems for verifying employment eligibility and awarding work visas." Our guest today is Astrid Silva, a young undocumented immigrant who has applied for the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals work permit and one of the members of Dream Big Vegas, a group advocating for immigration reform. Thanks for joining us, Astrid.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I really appreciate it.
And so first, Astrid, could you explain you know, how old you were when you first came to the United States and how you got here?
Well, when I arrived to the United States, I was 4 years old, and that was 1992. So it's been quite a while.
And so how, you know, growing up, were you aware of your undocumented status? How did that go?
You know, it wasn't really something that I was completely aware of, because it was you know, something that wasn't brought up often. But I think growing up, like, you know, when you start getting middle school, high school, that's when it really started to see something was different, and that a lot of opportunities that other people had weren't as available to me. But it didn't really cement itself fully what it was until I was about 16, and I needed to get that driver's license, and that's when it really came forward.
I see. So, and that's when you first realized, or just it became stark contrast in what you could do and what other kids your age were doing?
Yeah, definitely, because it was, you know, asking my parents, oh, 15 and a half, can I go get my driver's permit, and just facing that wasn't going to be a possibility for me.
Right. And how did your relationship with your status evolve? I mean, were you scared at first for anybody to know? You know, did you hide that fact?
Yeah, I didn't really tell anybody my status for a few years. I did the entire, my high school career, I didn't tell anybody my status. Very few people outside of my family knew. The people that I did tell were extremely close, and just people that I needed, you know, I needed them to help me out, because I was saying, you know, I have to keep telling people that I can't get a driver's license and I need backup on it. Until I was in college, and it was actually when I was around 21, 22 is when I actually started dealing with what it was, because pretty much from the time I graduated to that age, I kind of was just staying at home and not really doing anything that involved talking to other people as much, because I felt like I was keeping this entire life that wasn't real.
Mm-hmm. And which, you know, obviously a lot of dreamers have, you know, they chose to not maybe come out and have their name in the newspaper. And what gave you that courage, and just that, what made you think that it was necessary for you to be vocal in public? And I mean, you're almost the face of the dreamers here in Las Vegas.
Well, I really started volunteering and helping out on Senator Reed's campaign in 2009. And then he actually was the one that revealed my status on a completely accidental event. And it just, from there is when I had already been, like I said, been participating and had been active and volunteering. But finally, when he said that in you know, he told a group of people that I was a dreamer. From there it started being that people were asking me what it felt like, and because there had been nobody else that had really talked about it a lot. And I think that back this was in 2010, so people were seeing something that they had never heard about as much in our state. So really it was basically it was just, you know, circumstance, and I happen to be at the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm. And you're part of Dream Big Vegas. Could you tell me a little bit like how and when that got started?
Yeah, well, Dream Big Vegas came to be because, like I said, in 2009, it was a group of people volunteering, and we went through election cycles, and until 2011, in July, we there was a conference that was held here by dreamers from all over the Southwest region, and we realized that, you know, the Dreamers from Las Vegas were less than 10 people, when people from as far as Colorado had brought about 25 people. And so it was really a waking up moment, realizing, you know, we've been concentrating so much on helping elect candidates that we haven't really pushed for Dreamers to get more information. And that's how Dream Big Vegas was founded. It was a group of 11 of us that got together and said, you know, some of us are undocumented, some of us are allies, and we just got together and said that we really need to educate the community about it.
Mm-hmm. And then you've applied for the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, right?
Yes, I have. I sent my paperwork in October.
But you haven't gotten your work permit yet?
No, unfortunately, I have it. Mine was sent to the processing center, which is notorious for being the longest wait. But as I've told other people, I've waited so long for it that a few more weeks isn't going to set me down.
Right. And go back to that. It was June 15th of last year. And how did you find out about the announcement? And what was your initial reaction?
Well, I mean, I woke up like it was any other day, and I received a few texts from people, and you know, it just seemed weird that I was getting texts at 6:30 in the morning. And it was people from D.C., so I was freaking out. And then actually the first person to call me was Assemblywoman Flores, and you know, she was really excited in telling me that she was getting this information and that it was going to happen. And I think that's when I started to you know, of course, I went right to Twitter to find out what was happening. But there wasn't as much talk about it until finally I talked to a few more people, and they told us that we could, you know, that there was going to be a big announcement, that there was something going to happen. So at this point, we thought it was going to be something like prosecutorial discretion.
Mm-hmm.
And all they told us was just everybody get together at 10 a.m. So we were really lucky that PLAN, the Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada, opened up their doors for us and basically let us all come in within a matter of an hour. And we all got together at the office and watched the announcement, and it was not what I was expecting at all. I thought it was going to be a small rule change or, you know, saying that something different was going to happen. But when it was announced that it was a deferred action, I mean, there was no words to fit what we felt and what I personally felt at that moment, knowing that not only myself, but so many of my friends were going to be benefiting from it.
And what would you like to, you know, considering that when you get your work permit, you can also get a Social Security number, what are your next steps?
Well, my steps are going to be to continue fighting for comprehensive immigration reform, because, you know, Dream Act is something that it's a small fix. It would just be a small rule change that, in the long scheme of immigration, this immigration system, it wouldn't really cause anything to change. So I think that we really need to overhaul the entire system, update it to the current times. The last time it was updated was, I believe, 1916. So I think that we really need to step it up and bring it into this century. And hopefully continue so that my parents are also able to stay here in the country.
Mm-hmm. And that is one that, you know, so your parents, obviously, I know your dad was, you know, he was under threat of deportation, but he received prosecutorial discretion. And, you know, are you concerned that with politics, you know, that the Dream Act has always been a little bit more maybe politically in favor? Are you concerned that a young undocumented immigrants such as yourself will be, say, accommodated with a pathway to citizenship, but adult immigrants like your parents might be left out in some sort of, you know, compromise that is reached?
It's definitely something to be very worried about, because there are so many families that are right now being separated. I mean, I'm 24 years old, and I know that if my father was to be deported, you know, my life would be shattered. I can't imagine a 6-7-year-old whose parent is being deported, which is happening every single day, because like I said, our system is not up to date with what's happening in the current society that we live in. So I do think that it is something very scary to know that at any given moment they could say, oh, well, you know, we're only going to help the students. When really, you know, I really hope that President Obama takes not only him, but the entire Congress realizes that this isn't just an issue about numbers or about money. It's an issue about real people that are really suffering and have, you know, suffered so much to get to this country because all they wanted was to live the American dream. And I think that eventually people are going to start realizing that we aren't these monsters that people make us out to be. We're just your neighbors, you know, the kid that goes to school with your child. And I really hope that people start to see that that's really what we are.
And, you know, I assume you know some young immigrants who have received their work permits under the deferred action. And you know, have you noticed that, I mean, has this changed their lives dramatically? I mean, are they more open? Has it made them more confident? And you know, what have you seen them doing now that they have a Social Security number and a work permit?
You know, thankfully, so many people that have received their deferred action are starting to participate, because I think that before there was this really big fear that, you know, if you go volunteer, people are going to find out your status and they can call immigration. And so we have a lot more people that are starting to ask us what they can do as opposed to what can be done for them. And that's really, really good. And also, you know, people are starting to drive and people are starting to get their driver's license, and it's really great to see that so many people that their lives had been stunted for several years are finally starting to get out there and really start to live without that fear of constantly being turning around and seeing you know, if you see a police siren or calling 911, you're afraid to do it because you don't have that Social Security number. And people are starting to really start living.
Right. And now, you know, Alan Aliman, who's a local Las Vegas Dreamer, who was one of the first in the area to get his work permit, and he'll be in the First Lady's box at the State of the Union address. And I was just wondering what that means to you as a fellow Dreamer to see a young immigrant like Alan and such as yourself that's getting this recognition and is being sort of put on this national stage as an example of what young immigrants can offer this country.
It's really exciting because, you know, two of our DBV members were the ones that actually brought Alan's story to my attention, because he's a volunteer where they were filling out the paperwork. And I think that it's really great to know that, you know, he's been participating, and I know that him and another one of our members, Blanca Gomez, they had a meeting today with Senator Dean Heller. And it's really exciting to see that, you know, as you said earlier, it's not just me. It's other people that are out there doing it. And I can only hope that there's going to be more students, because there's so many stories out there. But it is really exciting to know that not only is it a dreamer, but it's a dreamer from our very own organization, from our city, representing so many other lives.
Right. And you were at the president's speech at Del Sol High School last week. What did you think of the speech in general? Just your first impressions, and what did you take away?
It was a very good speech. I mean, I really saw a lot of I've seen a lot of President Kennedy's speeches from back then, and I read President Kennedy's book, and it reminded me a lot about that, because there is that history that sometimes we forget, that we aren't the first immigrants. You know, people right now put the face of immigration as just being Latinos, but it hasn't always been that way. There were so many different ways of immigration, because the United States is where people dream to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me a very, you know, nostalgic air of something that has already happened. But I think that I wish we would have seen a little bit more details about what would actually be included. But I think that with time we'll be able to find what those are, and for both plans, not only President Obama's but the Senate's plan, because it's really important that it is a bipartisan effort. And hopefully that's what ends up happening.
And anything that you know, you sort of took out of the either the president's, you know, sort of summary proposal and the Senate, the what's coming out of the Senate proposal. Any areas that you're concerned about or issues, you know, you're going to be watching closely that, that came out of those proposals?
One of the issues that's really important, and it's obviously because it's very close to my heart, is being able to process cases where the reason that the people are in deportation, like my dad, is because of fraud committed to them by a third party. So I really hope to see that that those people are going to be included, because there's so many people out there that were scammed by unscrupulous people that were either pretending to be lawyers or who were not even certified to be doing immigration work, have ruined so many lives, and it's really not fair that because of something they did, other people have to pay for it. So that's something that I'm going to be looking out for, and more than anything, being able to keep the families together, but also to reunify them, because there's been so many cases of parents that are deported and they're not allowed into the country for 20 years, so they'll never see their children again. And I really want to make sure that there is a there's an effort there to unify families again.
Mm-hmm. And what about there in the Senate proposal? There was this mention of the idea that the border must be secure first, and eventually, you know, a committee comprised of, I guess, various public officials would make that decision. Does that worry you in terms of, you know, the pathway to citizenship being triggered by a committee decision?
I think that the use of the border is just, it's those key words that are meant to incite fear in people. Because we know that the border right now is the most secure it's ever been. I believe there's $18 billion spent on it. And so I think that really the entire use of the border is just a fear tactic to say, you know, let's divert the conversation a little. Obviously, if there's going to be an entire reform of the immigration system, border has to go with it. But I think that focusing so much on the border that it has to be first secure and then be able to allow people to become citizens, I think that that's not going to work, because it has to be something that goes hand in hand, and it can't be solely decided by a small group of governors. I think if it's up to them to decide when, then, you know, we have Jan Brewer right now who still refuses to give Dreamers driver deferred action benefits to people in Arizona, because she says that she doesn't want to, even though DHS announced that we have legal status basically to be able to get those licenses.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of the licenses, while we're on the topic, I wanted to ask you what you thought of. There's an idea that in Nevada they'll be issuing, I guess, driver's privilege cards, which will be distinct from a driver's license. And I was wondering if you thought that was a good idea, or not, to have something distinct from what everybody else gets.
You know, we're at a point where people need to drive. People need to put food on the table. People need to get to school. People they need to live their lives. And I think that from what I've spoken to in the community, a driver's privilege card is obviously not the ideal, because it would completely make a second class of people. But hopefully we're going to have a lot of support for immigration reform where driver's privilege cards won't even be necessary.
Mm-hmm. And the president, one distinction between his plan and the things he included and what the Senate proposal had was the president included LGBTQ rights and said that, you know, for example, if a heterosexual married couple, if, you know, one person can sponsor the other person, then the same should be true for same-sex married couples. You know, and some people have criticized saying, though, why stick that in there? It'll make it harder to get passed. You know, do you think that was a good move by the president to include that in his proposal?
I mean, I don't think it's either a good move or a good move or a bad move. LGBTQ people are people; they're human beings. I think that people making such a big argument out of it, they just don't understand that people aren't going to always be the same. You know, we each have the right to pursue our own happiness. And it really, like I said, it's all these tactics to deter the main issue, which is comprehensive immigration reform. People are going to continue throwing the border. They're going to continue throwing LGBTQ people, basically a sidetrack to it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that if it's going to benefit anybody, it should benefit everybody that qualifies. And by that, I mean, you know, that has their criminal record clean, that is going to be contributing to our country.
All right, and now one distinction between the president's proposal and the Senate proposal was that the president said that that we should include same-sex rights in terms of LGBTQ rights. If a heterosexual couple can sponsor their partner for citizenship, the same should be said for a same-sex couple, while some specifically GOP politicians said that would, you know, sort of throw a wrench into the works and make it more difficult to get passed. And I was wondering your views on that.
I think that the LGBTQ factor is just something else that is thrown in there, like the border, to deter the conversation. They want to concentrate so much on what they're against instead of saying, we agree with you on these bases, and let's push that forward. To me, a family is anybody who loves each other and who wants to be together, whether they are gay or not. That's every individual's, you know, freedom to live as they are. But I do think that, again, it's just something being said to basically make the conversation go elsewhere, because now people are tied up talking about, are LGBTQ couples going to be included or not, instead of focusing on, are we going to pass this reform that is going to keep families together no matter what their sexual orientation is.
Mm-hmm. And now that we're recording on Tuesday, and the State of the Union will be tonight. I know you'll be watching and looking for Alan in the First Lady's box. And I was just wondering what you hope to hear from the president on immigration tonight.
I really hope to hear him say that it's going to be immigration reform that keeps them together. You know, I think immigration is always based to be a Latino issue when really it's an American issue. It involves every single one of us. There's not one person that is not affected by immigration. I really hope that families are the main focus of any bill that is introduced, and I really hope to hear that because, again, if we're going to keep pointing out these things that are like the border and other things that are usually said in a term to make us less human, people have to remember that we're not. We're people. We are families. We're there. We're going to be contributing to our country. And hopefully that's what they talk about. And also, you know, encouraging bipartisan support of it, because at the end of the day, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Tea Party, Independent, doesn't matter. Every single American has a say in this, and our country is only as strong as all the people in it.
Mm-hmm. And Astrid, there's been a lot of, I guess, false starts on immigration reform in the last decade. In 2007, it didn't quite come to pass, and the DREAM Act, when Harry Reid brought it up, didn't get out of the Senate. And I was wondering if you really believe that immigration reform will happen this year.
I really think that, you know, this is the first year that I can feel that we really are going to be there on it. There's never been a harder push. I think that so many letdowns have made us so much stronger on it. I remember in 2010 sitting at my house when the Senate didn't pass the DREAM Act back then. I remember when it didn't pass in September of that year. And every single time we've come back so much stronger, but I do feel like 2013 is going to be the year when not only Democrats are going to bring their two cents to the table, but also Republicans. They are out there, whether it is because they truly feel for it or because they need votes. But I think that they're bringing whatever they're contributing to it as well. And so I think this is the first time that we can all say that there's this is going to be the biggest push.
Mm-hmm. And what about past? Let's say immigration reform is passed, and you know, you've been doing so much advocacy. I was wondering, you know, what you look forward to in your future in terms of career and you know, what you'd like to do, you know, after maybe some of the, you know, if immigration reform is accomplished.
Well, hopefully, I haven't been able to look out that far yet just because it's been so many years of not knowing what I'm able to do. Basically, there's a ceiling there that as of right now, it's concrete and there's no breaking through it. I want to continue helping people in whatever capacity I can. And so hopefully I'll be able to even have that opportunity to say that I can make my dreams a reality.
And what did you study when you were at UNLV?
I actually got my associate's degree from CSN. But I did political science, and right now I'm hoping to start UNLV soon, and then see where my career path can take me.
Right. Do you? I mean, I assume one thing you look forward to is maybe some financial aid opportunities opening up for you.
Well, not necessarily financial aid for me. I'm a little bit older on the financial aid abilities, especially for scholarships and things like that. But me being able to fully pay for my education is something that I want to do. I want to be able to have a job that I can pay for my bills, you know. I feel like when you don't have a Social Security, you're this perpetual 15-year-old. You know, you can't open your bank account. You can't open basically any kind of account. And hopefully it'll finally be like, turning 18 and saying I can do something just with a lot more experience. But I really look forward to being able to continue helping my community, but also seeing what career paths are open.
Do you think you might have a future in politics?
I enjoy helping people, and if that's the way that it's going to be easy to help people, then I definitely have always loved actually the running of the campaigns, not necessarily the running, but you know, I think that there's going to be so many opportunities open just because there's been so many different things that I've been able to work with and so many people that I've been able to get to know their different stories and their different issues, but you know, whatever's in the works, but first have to cross one big bridge to get to the next.
Right. All right. Well, you've been listening to Neon Eden on 91.5 KUNV. Our guest today was Astrid Silva, a Las Vegas dreamer who is working hard for comprehensive immigration reform. Thanks for joining us, Astrid.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Thanks to Stephen Zeller, our producer here at Neon Eden. Have a good day, and we'll see you next week.